I'd like to start with an overview of your research interests, because they seem really disparate, and they've kept me up at night. I wake up in the middle of the night thinking, what is the connection? And I think I have it. So quantum tunneling and the Josephson effect, these are things that you've been interested in and studied. The observation or measurement effect in quantum mechanics, the construction of language called semiotics, how water responds with patterns to sound waves called semetics, water memory, which explains homeopathy, music in the mind, like the sacred geometry, intelligence in nature called semiotic scaffolding.
Yeah, I stop you a minute now. As I've heard of sacred geometry, but I haven't followed it up at all.
Okay.
And you want to how would you want to do this? Because I mean, there's a great list.
What I found, and then parapsychology in the mind. So what comes to me that combines these different research interests is the systems, intelligence, order, patterns. Sheldrake calls them morphogenic fields. David Bohm's implicate order. Wheeler's fabrication of forms. Is that an accurate statement that you have devoted your thinking to finding these intelligent systems or patterns that underlie these very disparate phenomena?
Well, perhaps the thing to do is if I sort of make a statement about how it all fits together for my it's pretty similar to yours, but okay. About the beginning of the 70s, my interest shifted from regular physics, superconductivity, etc., to the brain. Also, through someone at college, I got to know about parapsychology. So I was then started to be interested in the mind and brain together, and really everything came from that, like parapsychology. I had a colleague in music I discussed music with and how that fitted with mind, that it was something meaningful. You see what I'm missing out.
Well, we better define mind as opposed to brain. So brain are these little fatty, liquidy things we have in our skulls, but mind is consciousness.
I wouldn't say consciousness. Well, from my perspective, the brain is a physical thing, matter. But it is connected with mind because mind is what it does, thinking, perceiving, and so on. It's a bit like what a computer does, but perhaps more intelligent than a computer, and something basically physical about it. So it's the opposite side to matter. They're both parts of reality, but mind is something different, which physicists hardly study at all, and which I think is very important.
And it seems to me this goes way back to Platonic notion of forms, that there is this ideal form that exists before matter patterns itself on that ideal of a form. Is that accurate?
Well, there are various ways of thinking about it. One thing I think anyway is that there's something beyond what we really understand. I mean, David Bohm talked of infinite levels of meaning. So it's something we don't know too much about. Ordinary physics doesn't tell us much, but I think by reasoning about how the mind works and what it can do, we can go better. Bohm's ideas are one thing, but I know a lot of people have looked at this from various directions. So there's a general idea about what is beyond physics, and I'm hoping to make it more precise, more like physics, even if it's not the physics we have at the moment.
So physics relies on mathematics. So are you suggesting that there might be a mathematics of this mind, maybe what Jung calls the collective unconscious, this kind of big intelligence system?
Yes, well, that's all a bit mysterious. I mean, mathematics is a bit of a mystery. Once you get to abstract mathematics, language is equally mysterious. So I think there's some kind of order process going on which leads to these things. One idea floating around is something called coordination dynamics, which is the idea that processes work together to produce other processes. And so I think this works step by step to getting more powerful things. And in a way, once we've got the idea, we can try and play with it to work out the details. At least that is my hope.
Is that what religions would call God or divine intelligence or something? Is it in some ways your concept of mind analogous to God?
Well, not necessarily. We don't know. That's we have to look and see where it leads. I think so. It may well turn out like that, but we can't really tell how much one can say that is will convince people. Yeah, so go ahead.
So mind is a system, an intelligence. It's the underlies evolution. So it is. Are those words that are accurate in describing this big concept of mind, not brain, my individual brain?
Yes, I would agree with that, because I think there's something to intelligent design. It isn't as random as people say. And the basic form may be predetermined, just as we have plans and then work out details. I think nature or God has evolved a plan.
You say that mind processes are relevant at levels other than familiar ones, such as brains, and are involved in contexts such as quantum observation. So let's talk about the implication of quantum observation, which means that let's say the photon or the electron exists in many different possible states at one time and only becomes like a wave or a particle when it's observed or measured. Did I say that accurately?
I would say it's simply not very definite. And lots of things are not very definite, and they become definite when you do an observation. It shapes the system, which basically is rather ill-defined.
So what are the implications for that? Does it mean that it's like that old saying about if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, is there really a sound of a tree falling? Does it mean that existence depends on our interaction with matter?
Well, probably not. I guess Ruth Kastner's talked about this sort of thing. But there is something. Part of nature is, as it were, personal to us, but part of it is more objective. And it sort of depends on how there may be something that imposes a fairly stable structure upon things so that it makes it more objective and more resistant to what we do, but maybe not totally resistant.
The fact that the researcher has a lot of influence on the outcome of the experiment means that the Western paradigm of scientific research, that I can be an objective researcher, is false. Do you think that scientists fully understand that now?
I think just going to get my tea.
Okay.
Yeah. how much scientists understand. Well, I think normally we don't think about quantum effects. The world is just there, and so it's just what we look at in experiments, which is where it would affect it. And I suppose quantum physicists are aware of that. But then the question of when we do an experiment, how much we influence it when we're not actually reading a meter, that's something which parapsychologists think about. So there's that difference there between the, well, there's the ordinary scientist, the quantum scientist, and the parapsychologist, all with different views. Yes. So, in other words, how a parapsychological experiment comes out may be very sensitive to the observer. So some things are more sensitive than others is the moral, I guess, which should come into the ultimate physics that people are working towards.
You've criticized science for being science by consensus. So if most of us think that ESP or psychokinesis is woo-woo, pseudoscience, then we don't even look at the research. And I know that you've made a point of reading the skeptics' criticisms, and I wondered what you found. Are there arguments against something like ESP, which your thesis, your dissertation advisor, his mother experienced that, and he talked about that openly.
Well, the thing is, if you assume a certain mathematical model, that may exclude things like ESP and PK. Well, you can't really tell. Well, I think there are prejudices, and a lot of, I don't know what the percentage of people that are highly prejudiced against psi. They talk more loudly about it, of course. I think a lot of people are somewhat open-ended. They say, well, it may be true, but I haven't seen anything that convinces me. And then there are people who've seen evidence and are convinced on the basis of what they know.
Well, when you read the skeptics, what are their common arguments against psi phenomena? They said it can't exist because it's, you can't just say it's weird because quantum mechanics is weird.
Yes, it's just an article of faith, really. I don't think they have good arguments against it. It's just a strongly held belief.
Have you read any argument that seemed to be some logical in some ways against psi phenomena?
Well, there can't be one if it exists. There can't be a valid argument against something that's real.
Why don't we talk about how you got involved when you met George Owen? He was interested in poltergeists and PK. How did that spark your interest in parapsychology? And why did you think it wasn't just woo-woo crazy?
Well, I don't think a colleague of mine would have taken it seriously if there wasn't something to it. At least there's some kind of evidence. I'm not too sure how much real evidence he got. I think he wrote some books about it. He probably got some evidence for it being real in some cases. But I suppose it's, the problem is it's difficult being completely certain about something.
Well, PK is pretty specific because, you know, you bent your key to your desk in a way that wouldn't...
I didn't.
Oh, you...
Master Fleming did that.
Ah. I've done spoon bendings, and it was really interesting. It just kind of melted and curled in my hands. It was fun.
Well, I read that to some extent at a conference. There was a relaxed session where people tried to do it, but it wasn't. You couldn't be. Well, it did seem like you weren't doing it by force, but I don't know.
If you were hazarding a wild guess, why would you say we can do things like PK, or your dissertation advisor's mother would know how her son was doing in the war?
Are you asking how it could happen?
Mm-hmm.
Or what? I think it's a basic principle that our thoughts connect with the physical world, and it's just maybe just a question of developing the skill. That's, I think, a general principle, and I suppose may to some extent be a question of how much you work at it. But again, some people better at it than others. But unless you think it's something worth trying, you will not develop the skill.
Right. But what allows thought to it's very tempting. A lot of people would love to say, oh, quantum entanglement, quantum non-locality, that explains why we can do ESP or healing from a distance or clairvoyance or whatever. But I think physicists like you say, oh no, we can't make that conclusion. Is that what you would say about?
Yes, I think most physicists would include that a general mechanism which can do things and produces particular kinds of capabilities. And in the case of matter, it's this mechanism will produce the regularities as we associate with ordinary physics.
So it's some kind of connection that involves communication and maybe the efficacy of thought having an impact even on matter. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's very much like an ordinary skill, like juggling or walking on a tightrope. The phenomenon will not occur unless you make various processes work together. And I think that's all that it's about, really. And we just have to work out the details and models.
Have you had any inspirations about any mathematical models for mind with a capital M?
I once had a student working on this, actually. He took this theory that you organize things to put various processes together. He took a very simple case of learning balance just in one dimension. And he had a computer program which just learned how to balance simply by trying various combinations and seeing how to combine the parts to get, first of all, to reach the vertical, and then when you could do that, then to make it balance. So you can produce computer models.
And was this balance done on the screen like a drawing, or was there an actual three-dimensional balancing going on?
No, it wasn't actually happening. It was only in two dimensions. And I guess he ran the computer program and knew that showed how everything would move over time, but just the computer model, not the real thing.
I see. But the point is that there was a system involved in learning to balance, and that could be figured out on the computer mathematically.
Yes, this was an idea of a mathematician, Niels Bass, called hyperstructures. So he made a computer model which tested the theory. It wasn't just a set of abstract equations. It was a real process in the computer simulation.
Hmm. You were quoted as saying, "My work on the brain is more significant than my Nobel Prize winning research." What particular aspect of the brain are you thinking will make the most impact?
I was really thinking about my work on mind rather than brain. I have published a few things on the brain which are getting some attention, because people tend not to think in this kind of way about how the brain works. But the important thing is this thing I've been talking about, how organizing your activity leads to particular things coming out, thinking leading to action, leading to fulfillment. And that's the idea, which doesn't feature in physics, although some biologists think about how these things happen. I've brought in the two cultures idea, but it isn't the arts and the sciences, it's the physical scientists and the biological scientists that really think in very different ways. And we need to bring the two cultures together.
That's profound. So biological scaffolding, is that an example of the kind of concept that you're interested in and think has implications for physics as well as biology?
Yes, that's the idea. It's the biologists or biosemioticians who produced that idea. I don't know if it's anything other than an explanatory concept, but there's the people working on biodynamics, I think, coordination dynamics. They have been working on mathematical models, but rather simple ones. They write equations for how coordination occurs. Yeah.
Could you give us an example of coordination? Is that like a beehive, and the whole system works together? Every worker bee or queen or drone knows what to do. What's an example of coordination in nature?
Lots of examples. In biology, you have lots of things that happen which depend on individual processes working together. For example, walking requires balance and stepping. Speaking involves a whole number of things working together. So that's a principle that goes beyond what people have in physics. People in physics have a very simple, regular example of coordination, whereas in biology it's a more complicated business.
But it requires thinking in terms of a system, right?
I suppose I'm not too sure what you mean by that.
Many parts working together in a coordinated, intelligent way.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
What does scaffolding mean in when biologists talk about scaffolding? What are they referring to?
I think that's the thing that does the coordinating. Conventional theory is you have some genes which, the connection between genotype and gene and phenotype and phenomena. But there's a question of how it actually happens, and the biosemioticians are saying we need to look in more detail. Can't just say that you have a language which does certain things. It really involves things, an additional organization, isn't it? You have to put the organization in before it happens. And the organization may actually be, when they talk about epigenetics, I think the activity may involve organization, and so maybe even the single cell has it, and that organization gets passed on from one generation to another. So it's all a lot more complicated. It involves new ideas. And so you could put in the idea of scaffolding. It's being described as something that helps you do the right thing. Talks about it very generally. So you do things in an organized way because there's something that does it.
Yeah. Okay. So it involves some kind of intelligence and memory.
Yes, if you like.
Okay. Let's just go back to a minute to your boyhood. You're a Capricorn. Do you identify with being a mountain goat in any way?
Like being what? Well, I haven't studied astrology. People say there's some evidence for it, but I've not looked into it. So
okay,
I guess we can leave that out.
I think you have a history of speaking up when you think something isn't truthful, and that takes a lot of courage and forthrightness. So I think of Capricorns and mountain goats as being like that.
I think it's my type of personality, really. I was always curious, and my parents were quite intellectual. I guess I had intellectual discussions with them, so I got used to arguing. I don't know the detail, but I got used to thinking about what people say anyway. So I would therefore decide I agree with something or don't agree, and I didn't think of inhibiting what I was saying. I would just speak out as I would as one would in an ordinary conversation.
At conferences and whatever, yeah, I know, it's great. your father taught French, but he was interested in math. Is that what kind of? And plus, your teachers in secondary school, is that what kind of triggered your interest in math and then physics?
No, I think I was interested in mathematics anyway. And I found it a fascinating subject, being able to prove things in geometry and so on. Physics, maybe I got some... Well, my teachers were very helpful. They lent me books to look at. And also, when they'd established what stage I was at, I spent some time in the sixth form, so I was had a stimulating environment anyway.
What does sixth form mean for Americans?
There's an examination after about 5 years in high school, and after that it's the sixth form, first year and second year, when you go on to advanced level. So the age would be, maybe 16 or 17. Hmm.
So it's kind of like a precursor to university.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what...
At time, a lot of people would leave before then. They would get their general certificate of education and go on, but now a lot more people stay on to sixth form and they leave later, they leave school later.
I'm asking everyone their birth order. What was your birth order in your family?
Well, I was an only child.
Mm, okay. And I'm also asking everyone their Myers-Briggs, their personality inventory, the extrovert, introvert, that one. Do you know your... I sent the link, but I don't know if you've had a chance to...
I think it's basically introvert, but so I developed in various ways. I become much more extrovert.
If you're a teacher, you kind of have to be extroverted, at least in the classroom, right?
I don't know much, really. I know one of my... supervisors in physics, you'd ask a question, he would think for 2 minutes and then come out with a reasoned answer. So I think that he was an introvert.
Mm. Then what has helped you keep your centeredness in the face of opposition to your interest in these unusual, shall we say, topics? I know that meditation has been important, that you started transcendental meditation in the 70s.
Yes, and then I changed to Raj Yoga in the 80s. I think the Nobel Prize helped a lot because it meant people couldn't really get rid of me. They couldn't easily get rid of me. Otherwise, I would have to be a lot more cautious.
Have you found that meditation, besides keeping you calmer and allowing you to sleep at night, that you had insights into this mind with a capital M? Has it been a source of information for you at all?
Well, I think always I had access to a state of consciousness. When I learned about Sanyama, which is combination of three states of mind, I realized that was a process I had been doing all my life to get insights. So I suppose meditation has helped.
Wait, what are those three states? Could you say again?
Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi, which I think are concentration, maybe thinking, and transcending thought. And you sort of you combine them all in some way. So if you sort of, first of all, concentrate on something before you have the idea, and then you start thinking about it, and then you transcend thought to let inspiration come. I think that's roughly what it is.
And do you find that you experience that, the insights, when you're waking up, when you're asleep, when you're taking a walk, when you're meditating? When is the most optimal time to receive that, let's call it downloading?
I suppose to some extent walking, but also when I'm asleep or semi-asleep in bed, I find things become clearer during the night, and then I can see how it is and write it down in the morning.
Right. Have you had children along the way?
I've got one daughter and one grandson.
And is she interested in science?
She wasn't so keen on physics, but she is a veterinary surgeon now. That's what she did at university.
Got it. Let's see. You said that there are four things that people don't want to look at that they should, and one of them was memory and water. Could you say a word about that list of kind of significant things that people dismiss?
One we've talked about, parapsychology. I also mentioned intelligent design, and that's fatal. It's confused with creationism, so hence just dismissed. But it's really an article of faith that evolution doesn't involve an element of design. Memory of water. As it happened, I met Ben Vanist at a conference before this trouble he had with Nature Journal, and been following it since. There seems to be good experimental evidence there, and it's been taken up with the Nobel laureate Luc Montagnier. I think basically that sound can structure water in some way, and that may give it properties. And as it happens, there's very clear evidence, at least I assume it's clear evidence. I don't know how many people have replicated it. Yeah, I think some people have. Something called cymatics, which is viewing the effect of sound on water, which produces all sorts of patterns. So that's clear evidence that something interesting can happen with water.
And then homeopathy has been used widely in Europe since the 19th century with success. Yeah, I mean, you, as I understand it, you can go into any pharmacy and there are people there who can help you with a remedy. So there's more acceptance in Europe.
Local pharmacist near where we live, I got a notice saying that they're for sale. There are people who are very strongly against it, and they managed to stop the National Health Service being able to provide it or maybe even prescribe it. I'm not sure if doctors are allowed to prescribe it, but it's certainly not, you certainly can't get your drugs on an ordinary prescription. So I don't know when, how long that'll continue. I think ultimately it'll be shown that the idea is wrong. The idea that it can't happen is wrong. That's a case where you have people producing faulty arguments. They say it's your water is dilute, so it can't do anything. They ignore the fact that your water might have a structure. Now, cymatics may provide very clear evidence of that. It's been suggested that there's a memory there. I don't know how much evidence there is for it, but one may be able to see from that that there is a memory component.
Well, since the body, our bodies are 70% at least water, what do you think are the implications for our health that water has perhaps has memory and structure?
Well, the structure of water may be very, very important biologically. I mean, it's a thing which hasn't been investigated. It's a little bit surprising it's not taken seriously, because there's no reason why, since structure is important in chemistry, why structure of water can't be relevant to biological function. But people just have not looked into it.
It's another one of those science by consensus problems. What do you hear about research going on in the UK or elsewhere that interests you in terms of psi phenomena in general? Where are the hot spots of people doing interesting research?
I'm not really very closely involved with it in recent years because I've been focusing on more general attitudes. So I think there are a number of places in the UK where it's universities where research is being done, but I can't really tell you the details.
Okay. You've also been interested in cold fusion, which,
yes,
if that worked...
Yes. Right. You're going to ask a question?
Because there's a lot of increasing awareness that we're destroying the planet with fossil fuels. So if we had cold fusion nuclear reactions at room temperature, that might be an alternative to fossil fuels, correct?
Yes, it's been a bit disappointing. As I understand it, it's, first of all, cold fusion is a real phenomenon. The second is it's not understood at all. So people get it to work by trial and error, not reproducibly, and there's no particular reason why it should be reproducible. This may be connected with coordinated activity, various theories, but it's all a bit mysterious, and really there should be more support for it, more research to try and find out more. It is said that people like Bill Gates are interested in it. Have supported it. Well, at least they're interested in it. So one hopes that it'll get sorted at some point. Perhaps it is, because what seems to happen is when people start to get good results, they start to keep quiet about it. They don't, because they're hoping to make money out of it. So I don't know really the situation, how well people are doing, whether it's, I don't think people are making very large amounts of energy as yet, which you would need for it to replace ordinary power, but hopefully that'll happen before too long.
Mm-hmm. So are you hopeful that that we can save the planet, or do you think we've gone too far and we've kind of irreparably destroyed our habitat? Are you hopeful or not hopeful?
I think it should be possible, but the thing which is being talked about a lot these days is the financial system. I forget the word for it. You know, the thing based on money. I mean,
you mean capitalism?
Ah, oh, that's it. Yes, the word I'm looking for. Yes, capitalism is messing things up, and we need to think out an alternative. Certainly seems to be having lots of bad consequences. On the other hand, there are now movements against it trying to get something better, so hopefully that will sort it out. The trouble is politicians that are influenced by their sources of money, and it's difficult for them to do the right thing.
Yeah. In the U.S., the Republicans are going to run their campaign against the Democrats in the presidential election in 2020 using the word socialism. That's going to be their bad word to put on the Democrats.
It's interesting the power of words, that people think of these phrases to influence people, like strong and stable, which didn't work out very well in the U.K., and I think there's something there I see as being used nowadays. I can't recall what it was, but people are essentially psychologists, I suppose, working out how to influence people. And, of course, things are done with fake news in the social media.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you like people to think about in terms of understanding parapsychology or the directions that science needs to go in? Anything that seems like, oh, we should really include that?
Not really, but did you look at this paper I mentioned on physical mind and thought? Yes, that's now been accepted and is the published version is available online. It'll be in print, and my homepage has a link to it, which gives you the version which looks just like the it will look like when it's published. So I'm trying to figure out a better version, as I have some lectures to give and hope to maybe get it published in somewhere where people will see it more. But that's, I don't think there's anything else that I recall. Well, it's been going a lot better this time, I think. We've had a conversation. And